Coming up on this episode of Nintendo Cartridge Society, we give a 21 splattershot salute as they lower the Wii U and 3DS into the ground. It's dangerous to go alone, so the Nintendo Cartridge Society goes with ya. Welcome to Nintendo Cartridge Society. My name is Patrick Ellers, and I am joined, as I am always joined, by my co-host, Mark Mitchell. We've got a good show for you today. We're going to be talking about the news from the week, including, of course, the end of online for the Wii U and 3DS. And then on Thursday, we are celebrating 747 episodes by discussing Nintendo secrets with a special secret guest.
It's going to be super fun.
But Mark, in the meantime, how's it going?
It's going great. I feel like we have been perpetually burying the Wii U and the 3DS
for
8 years now.
Yes.
Like, how much more dead can these poor systems get?
The thing is, they will be dead in that, like, their online functionality. They are. This has now happened.
Mm-hmm.
Their online functionality is simply gone. But you can still download games that you've already purchased.
Yeah.
And you can still play the games that are already on your system. So, like, I don't know. I guess, like, the heat death of the universe, we have to, like, do it again?
I just feel like we, you know, the Switch came out.
Yep.
We eulogized the Wii U.
Yeah, that's right.
They shut down Miiverse.
Mm-hmm.
We eulogized the Wii U.
Yeah.
The eShop, you stopped being able to make new purchases.
Right.
We eulogized the Wii U.
I mean, the Wii U died the way it lived, no one really understanding what it was. Or what to do with it, right? Like,
but is it time, like, have we come around, are people, look, I didn't own a Wii U.
Right.
But I feel like people are, there's a little bit of revisionist history in the air when it comes to the Wii U.
Absolutely, there's revisionist history. I saw a tweet this weekend, someone saying that, like, the Wii U era was a golden age for Nintendo fans. And it's just, like, simply categorically false. There are some great games from that time. I liked my Wii U, generally speaking. But until the thing was around for, like, 3-ish years, there wasn't enough stuff to play on it to, like, fill your time or, like, feel like a meaningful part of your home.
Yeah.
It, like, every year felt like the Switch is 2023 or 2024. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. I mean,
2023 is a great year for Nintendo.
I feel like the 3DS.
Yeah.
Totally can make an easy argument for.
Sure.
Great system.
Yes.
Just a tough act to follow,
mm-hmm,
with the Nintendo DS, but the Wii U, tumbleweeds.
Somehow, Mark, I overpaid my Best Buy credit card, and I recently got a refund check back for $104.
Whoa.
I don't know how to work that into conversation, but I just wanted to share that somehow I paid Best Buy too much money,
uh-huh,
and they sent me a check for $104.
That's better than them trying to give you, like, Best Buy bucks.
Yeah, that's true. They could have done that. They
could have tried.
Been like, it's credit. Here you go.
Yeah.
Here's the crazy thing. I didn't even realize I had done this overpayment.
So thank you, Best Buy.
Thank
for
you,
being
Best
honest.
Buy. Yes, I appreciate it. I mean, thank you, Best Buy credit card processing. Like, that's probably like Chase or somebody.
Probably.
Right?
Do you think that you will end up spending that $104 on Amiibo
at Best Buy?
That's a question.
Will Nintendo ever make another Amiibo? We
now
don't know.
That is the question.
Right. This, we've talked so much Nintendo stuff already in this opening part of the show that I feel like we've thrown our structure out the window. I don't know what this episode is. This is a news episode. We're talking about the news from the week.
That's right.
If you would like to enforce structure.
Let's get serious.
Get on over to patreon.com/Nintendo Cartridge Society, where you can support us if you like. And if you do so at the 8-bit or 16-bit levels, you can get access to our once a month episodes of miniseries that we put out. We are currently making our way through NCS Arcade.
Yeah, Patrick and I are playing games on Nintendo Switch Online and Nintendo Switch Online Plus Expansion Pack that we've never beaten before. In January, we had a great conversation about the Minish Cap.
Mm-hmm.
Then we talked about Jet Force Gemini.
Mm-hmm.
Last month, we discussed Kirby Tilt and Tumble.
Also a good discussion.
And then this month we're going to be talking about Sonic the Hedgehog 2 for the Sega Genesis.
An embarrassing thing to admit, I've never beaten.
Yeah, I don't feel that bad about it. I feel like I've been pretty upfront about owning a Genesis.
Immune from embarrassment.
That's right. I'm like Teflon, baby.
Yeah, that's right. I could call you stupid and you wouldn't even mind.
Water off a duck's back.
Speaking of being called stupid, if you would like to join our Discord, you can email us, NintendoCartridgeSociety@gmail.com. I will send you an invitation. I won't even call you stupid.
I'm like the wind, baby. Nobody can pin me down.
If you are in the Discord, then you can chat with us about Nintendo games. Mark and I are both in there, and there are a bunch of other good people in there having great conversations all the time. We've got a big debug to get to, but before we do that, just want to point out that I have two issues of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles source book that I wrote out in comic book stores today. If you are wanting to get a leg up on the next issue, issue 3 comes out sometime. I forget when exactly. Probably won't be till May, maybe end of May. But that's a good one. Check that out. They're all, I can't believe these things are coming out into the world. It's very exciting. Check those out if you are interested. Mark, the debug.
Yes. On Thursday, we ranked the transformations in Princess Peach Showtime. And of course, one of the transformations in the game is Cowgirl Peach.
Yes.
And when we were discussing...
Ranked high? We won't say.
Check it out.
Yep.
And how's that for a tease?
That's a good tease.
And then, so Cowgirl Peach in the game. Patrick and I were talking about, we were struggling to come up with other instances of Western, like Old West themed
yes.
Nintendo things.
Right.
And we could name a couple.
Yes, but Mark floated one. He was like, do you travel to the Old West in Zoda's Revenge, Star Tropics 2? And I said, no. You don't. Mark, you do.
Okay, well, there you go.
So I was wrong on that one, but we got into a conversation in the Discord where Paul and Drew and myself were pointing out a couple different times where Nintendo is playing in the Old West. I think most notably the sort of like Wild Gunman, like that whole... Because Wild Gunman as a property... is many things to Nintendo, including an original NES game, like a sort of ancient arcade cabinet that like used dual projectors and like live action footage of. Did you watch any of the videos that people posted in the Discord on
No,
this?
No, I didn't.
It's wild stuff. So yes, the Wild Gunman series. There's a Western land in Mario Party 2, Flint from Mother 3. And then, of course, the Dylan's games, Rolling Western and Dead Heat Racers, those are all, like, sort of Western-y. Dylan is like a cowboy armadillo, so we should have pointed those out.
And then Paul also mentioned that Calamity Ganon
is
not Western-themed per se.
But sounds like a cowboy name.
Sounds like a cowboy name. Calamity Jane, Calamity Ganon.
Yep.
I'm just imagining Calamity Ganon as, like, a sharpshooter in... Wild Bill's Wild West show.
Yeah. No, I mean, like Universal or Six Flags somewhere.
That's right.
Turns
out all Calamity Ganon needed was a steady job.
Yeah, that's all he
needs. Turn it around.
That's right. And then he can hang up his six shooters and you never have to worry about him rustling cattle ever again.
He's just had too much time on his hands. And that's that. So he's becoming a menace to Hyrule.
Right.
Just give him a 9-to-5.
Just give him a job.
He'll be too busy.
Teach him how to tend bar, you know?
Idle hands, right?
Exactly. The mention of the Dylan games reminded me that on my 3DS, I had created an Andy Daly, the comedian Andy Daly. I'd created a Mii for him because I was making Mii fighters based on the characters that he plays on Comedy Bang Bang. And I guess speaking of cowboys, the cowboy poet laureate Dalton Wilcox was one of the characters that I created. So I really should remember that. But Dylan's Dead Heat Racers, I believe is the name of the game, for 3DS will use your Miis to make little animal characters to populate the game with. And then they have the name that you give the Miis. So I was playing that game, and then I ran into like a little mouse in a saloon who looked like Andy Daly, who said, "Hi, I'm Andy Daly."
That's fun.
That is fun.
I miss Miis.
I miss Miis too.
Kind of.
Yeah, I mean, they can also, I don't really care about them. But this, that, I mean, that was a super fun thing that, like, will never be replicated ever again.
Totally.
All right, Mark, let's get into what we've been playing this week. All right. So, there was a Tetris 99 Tetris Maximus Cup.
Is this still happening?
It is still happening. Okay, until midnight tonight, Mark.
Of our recording, so Monday night.
The second this episode releases,
it's over.
It's over, yes.
Okay. I have forgot about this. Mark, and so get in there. I will need to do it right after.
I posted a reminder in the Discord.
I know, right after, and I saw it. Here's what happened.
Yeah.
Just real quick.
Yeah.
Is
you can take as long as you want.
It's not that interesting. So I'm going to do it very quickly. Is I went to play it.
Yes.
And the game needed to update. And whenever it gives you a choice to like play anyways, you know, or you can cancel, you can update, you can cancel, or you can like play
third
game or
option,
whatever it's called.
Right.
And I never play game. I'm always like, oh, there's an update. Fine. Like I can
wait. Yes.
For whatever reason, my internet, Nintendo servers, it was like going to take 10 minutes. And so I put it down,
yeah,
and then I went and did other things and just totally forgot
never
about
came
it.
Back.
Yeah, never came back.
That's outrageous. It's a fine theme. I will say that I don't think that there's any music in the Princess Peach Showtime, a game that has a soundtrack that I generally enjoy, that gets to the like high octane pressure of, you know, top 10 Tetris 99. The theme is generally pretty pleasant. I have to say, Mark, I've become a little rusty at Tetris 99.
Oh.
I believe my first game out, I finished like 22nd or something like that. And I was like, ugh. That's not even top 10. My last game, I came in second.
Just so you know,
yeah.
If I get 22nd in a match of Tetris 99,
yeah,
I'm feeling very good about myself.
Here's the thing is I've built so much of my gamer identity in the last decade around being good at Tetris 99. So it hurt me a little. But I did come in second once, and I believe I got the theme in like five games. So felt okay about it. Always fun to play Tetris. Fun to spend a little bit more time with Princess Peach Showtime, which brings us, of course, into Princess Peach Showtime, which we both played some of this weekend.
Yeah, I finished it this weekend.
Very good. I have not.
Yeah, my opinions of the game didn't really change after finishing it. I think it was an enjoyable experience. The different transformations gave it an interesting dynamic, and you know, some of the transformations I looked forward to playing a lot more than others. But the game is not that long. As an adult playing it, and I didn't try to 100% it, but just going through the experience, like, I had a good time. The ending, like, boss fights are fun but not particularly challenging. I won't get into spoiler territory on the show, but you and I should talk afterwards, because
I have not finished the game.
Right. Okay. I'll wait until you finish.
Okay.
But I think I don't know. I don't really know how to end this, other than saying I have an observation to make about the ending of the
very
game.
Very good.
But I won't make it here because you haven't finished it. And,
right.
You know, I don't want to spoil the end of it.
Sure. Well, and so much of the game is just like experiential anyway that like, the moment to moment gameplay isn't really like the fun of it. The fun of it is sort of like being subjected to what it's going to show you.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I thank you for not spoiling it.
I also finished Pentiment this weekend.
Okay.
Which I really, really, really loved. I really loved The Name of the Rose when I read it, which is the Umberto Eco book about, like, a murder that takes place in an abbey. And, like, I was really moved by the ending of that. Like, I don't know that it's my... I would name it among my favorite books ever.
Okay.
But as a reading experience, I was, it definitely was. Like, I was really moved by the end of it.
Right. And is that, like, mostly, like, the setting that's speaking to you? Can you pinpoint what it is about it that, like...
I found the ending very beautiful. Like, the way that the book, like, climaxes is, I thought, very poignant. And I was very moved by it. And I was really, I was moved by the ending of Pentiment as well. I think it, you can see that one of its influences is The Name of the Rose. You know, it shares that same sort of like medieval abbey, like monks are involved type thing, but murder and all of that. And they're, but they're both also using the trappings of that genre to say something else. And I thought the, and they have different points of view and like different things that they're trying to say, but the way that they come together at the end, I thought both of them did really well. And so Pentiment, I just, darn it, I really enjoyed that game. Like the writing is really smart. I think the design of it, like the visuals and the music is really good. And then just the storytelling is really impressive. I'm really glad I had the opportunity to play it. I really loved it a lot.
How similar is the story of Pentiment to that episode of Diagnosis Murder we watched that takes place in the Abbey where Delta Burke is one of the
remember. Yes. I would say it's not very similar, but both brought me a lot of joy.
I mean, is there any point in Pentiment where Dick Van Dyke pretends to be a priest?
Oh, sorry. There is that.
Oh, okay. All right.
I did forget about that.
Pentiment's still on my list of like things I got to get back to. I'm very excited to like dig into that and just sort of like live in that world. Just because it's so like pleasant and chill. And does it ever lose the like chillness or like do there become parts where you have to be like actively making like quick choices or anything like that? Or
no, there's okay. Nothing like that where you have to make quick choices. There are, you know, like as part of it when you're doing investigating, there are choices as to like where you put your time and that has consequences, but there's nothing like quick time events or anything like that. Yeah.
Right. I wanted to loop back around to the detective sections of, just as long as we're like talking about like solving mysteries and stuff of Princess Peach Showtime. They're pretty boring, right?
They never get good.
They I'll never get good. Yeah. Okay.
Like, so at the, have you started doing the basement stuff yet?
Yes, but, not, I've only done the Swordfighter one.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, there's one of those little sequences for each of them.
Right.
And the detective one is just bad.
Yeah.
Like, it's just no good.
It's just so slow.
And
you
not...
just gotta, like, talk to all the little guys.
Right. Yeah, it just doesn't click.
Yeah.
Like, it's one that I was excited for, but the actual, like, moment-to-moment gameplay
you
of
like
it...
You like that Deerstalker hat.
...is just not very good.
Which we know is what it's called.
that's right.
All right, so that's what we've been playing this week. Let's get into the new releases and what we might be playing next week.
I've got to tell you,
There's nothing.
Nothing.
There are games coming out next week, but it is, like, genuinely hard to even feign interest in any of these. I don't know. Do we just move out of the segment?
I think we can just move on.
All right. So those are the new releases. Let's close this out. Which brings us to a regular segment on our show. It is time for 433. In 1952, American composer John Cage wrote a piece called 433, wherein a performer or group of performers didn't play their instruments for 4 minutes and 33 seconds. For the purposes of this show, our instruments are talking about Nintendo. So, for the duration of one performance, 433, Mark and I will talk about something not at all Nintendo-related, thus fulfilling the contract of the piece. Mark, you've posed a question here.
So, I was watching a show, and in it, one of the characters uses the phrase, wet behind the ears.
Yes.
And that's a phrase I know and have, I'm probably used in the past, but it,
to mean like young or inexperienced, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, when the character said it, it just struck me. Why does this phrase exist? What is the origin from?
Yes.
What does it mean?
Right.
Right? Like, we know colloquially what it means.
Right.
But what does it actually mean? Like, what is wet behind the ears represent somebody who's inexperienced?
Right. And with these kinds of phrases, you always worry that, like, it's bad.
Like, racist.
Yeah. Like, like, racist, or like, oh, yeah, I mean, that's based in, like, beating your wife, or, you know, like, there are a lot of different ways that the origins of these phrases can be bad.
Uh-huh.
So if this one ends up being bad.
Oh, yeah, because we don't know. I didn't look it up.
Yeah, so I apologize. This is a.
Yeah, maybe this segment will just be, like, not aired.
Yeah, maybe this gets cut out. We end up doing something else. I will tell you that I know the origin of the saying our salad days. Yeah, are you familiar with the phrase salad days?
Yeah.
It means, you know, like
prime of your
youth.
Life.
Yeah, exactly. The youth. It comes from Julius Caesar, the Shakespeare play.
Oh.
He says, in our salad days, when we were green. So it is more, and like, where does using green to indicate inexperience or youth, like, where does that come from? I'm not sure exactly.
Plants.
Plants are like that. But yeah, our salad days when we were green, Julius Caesar says it in Julius Caesar. So that's where that phrase comes
from. Do we think wet behind the ears? Let's just call it right now. Wet behind the ears. Shakespeare, yay or nay?
Nay.
I say nay as well.
I say nay, but I mean,
not impossible.
He do be talking about ears.
He do be talking about ears. He do be talking.
Yeah, like all the time. So many words in those plays. Okay, so what, I mean, is it possibly like a livestock thing that like...
See, this is what I was thinking as well. Is it like you're removed from the womb and you are like
wet behind
the ears?
It'd be like, this pig is wet behind the ears. We need to send him out to get dry. I don't know. I don't know. This one is tough for me. Actually, wait. Let me venture a real guess. Livestock adjacent, but specifically cat related, because kittens will be carried around by their mother by the nape of the neck in their mouths, and I guess cats' mouths are pretty dry as far as animal mouths go. But you could be wet behind the ears from that if you're a kitten.
Yeah. So we think it's animal related.
We think it's animal related.
I think it's probably animal related.
Right. Safe to say something that has ears.
Yes. Yes.
So like a book.
All right. I'm looking it up.
Look it up.
Okay. Also difficult, turns out, on the internet to say with any authority where anything ever came from.
Sure.
But here is what Wiktionary says. Here's the etymology, according to, is from the drying of amniotic fluid on a baby after birth.
Okay.
Specifically, a newborn farm animal.
Whoa!
Which last dries behind the ears, partly because licked dry by mother everywhere else.
Sure. Mother doesn't want to lick dry behind the ears?
I guess it's where they finish.
Huh. And that's just, like, built into, like, mother's evolutionary instincts is to end with behind the ears?
I guess so.
Huh.
Here is a reference to Americanisms by Maximilian Schildewehr from 1872. Quote, The German fancifully notices that newly born animals are apt to be licked dry promptly everywhere except behind the ears, and hence their colloquial phrase, the youngster is not dry yet behind his ears. That one doesn't really roll off the tongue.
No, I think we should adopt it, though. I think it is perhaps better to say not yet dry behind the ears instead of wet behind the ears.
The expression having become familiar to American ear in Pennsylvania first. So we have Pennsylvania.
I thought there was going to be like a story like known to Pennsylvanians first because
nope, not according to
some carnival barker was saying it to like trash talk someone who was walking by his booth.
If that is true,
yeah.
Maximilian Schildewehr does not tell us so.
That's fun. I'm glad that we. First of all, I'm glad that it's not horrible.
That's right. That we don't have to ditch this segment.
And I'm glad that we were mostly right in guessing it.
That does feel nice.
And if anyone has any evidence that my thing about salad days isn't true, you can just keep that to yourself. because I believe it to be from Julius Caesar. All right. that's the end of 433. We were accompanied today by the Randolph College Chamber Orchestra, conducted by Randall Spear with soloist William Parrish Jr. All right, Mark, let's get into the news. Such as it is.
Sure. I mean, you know, like the new releases, we are in a little bit of a dry spell for mm-hmm. Nintendo stuff.
Dry behind the ears.
But this is, which is a phrase.
Right.
Visions of Mana, a new 3D open world entry in the Square Enix Mana or Seiken Densetsu franchise, was announced recently for PlayStation and Xbox platforms at the Game Awards late mm-hmm. last year. But Switch, conspicuously missing from the lineup.
Which, you know, all of the recent, like, entries in, you know, either the remake of Trials of Mana or the Mana collection of the first three games, or there was even another one of them, too, one of the more recent ones. When I say more recent, I mean, like, PlayStation era, that all of those have been coming to Switch. This one, for whatever reason, not Switch is not among the announced platforms.
In an interview with RPG site, series producer Masaru Oyamada was asked why there wasn't any Switch version, and his answer is a little bit cagey, a little bit coy.
A little bit. And, like, well, let's read what he says and then see if we can do our best to decode it and then discuss why it's strange.
So this is what he said.
Yeah.
That's definitely a tricky question to give a direct answer to. For Trials of Mana, the main thing was how we had to consider the future of the series and how to cultivate a player base for future entries in the franchise. When we thought about the next, say, 10 years of the series' future, we felt it was paramount to really solidify what we wanted Mana to be going forward. Some of those core tenets include a focus on expansive environments and a richer experience overall. As a direct result, that's what informed the hardware we decided to develop for. That's all we can say specifically at this moment.
Okay, so we're pitching back a little bit here to Trials of Mana, the remake that came out on all platforms, including Switch, a couple years ago. And at that point, they were like, you know what? We have the following priorities. And some of those core tenets included a focus on expansive environments and a richer experience overall. Is he just saying Switch couldn't hack it?
That's my takeaway.
Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he just say that? Why wouldn't he say, like, oh, you know, it's we were aiming for higher specs than what the Switch could run?
I think this is a very diplomatic answer.
Sure.
And I also think it leads to easy speculation that this game will be on Nintendo hardware. It'll just be on the next Nintendo hardware.
Yeah, I mean, that's speculation that I like. Do we think that that's what'll happen? Or, like, is it possible that, like, he is aware of the new Nintendo thing? They are developing the game for it, but obviously can't say that. And was like, that's a tricky question to answer. And then, like, just sort of talked himself in circles for a second. And they were like, okay, great.
Yeah, I mean, I do think It feels very likely to me that it is in development for the next Nintendo hardware, but until Nintendo announces or officially acknowledges that hardware, nobody's going to say anything. I feel like we can get coy answers like this. And look, maybe it turns out that this new Mana game is not on the next Nintendo hardware. And, you know, because game developers like to tease and they like,
oh, they love it.
And it doesn't always turn out that those, you know, teases turn into actual releases. But I don't know. I mean, like you said, all the most recent remakes up to this new game have been on Switch.
Yeah.
So they're cultivating an audience there on Nintendo hardware. It just makes sense to me that the next one will eventually show up there.
I am excited to see, like, a Mana game that is a fully fleshed out, like, modern new game. And the, like, little clips of it that we saw at the Game Awards last year were pretty cool. So, I don't know, them being like, oh yeah, the Switch isn't the right platform for it, sort of makes me more interested in it, where it's like, oh, so this actually is going to be, like, a pretty big, expansive entry in that series. So yeah, I mean, this does nothing to dampen my excitement for Visions of Mana.
Like, the Mana series in general makes me think of the news that we talked about a couple of months back, where Square Enix was talking about the kind of like development choices that they are making now, and that they had found themselves recently in kind of this, you know, this sharing the same space with a lot of their games as indie games.
Right. Yes.
And so that they wanted to, instead of doing a lot of kind of like the mid or lower budget titles, that they really wanted to focus on kind of like AAA experiences.
Yeah. They wanted to set their bar a little higher. Yeah.
Yeah. And as a way to kind of like differentiate themselves from the indie game space. Mana to me, you know, is like a B tier.
B might be high.
Like Square Enix
frankly,
franchise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Visions of Mana was put in development before that discussion, like those decisions were made?
No, I think this is their attempt to bring Mana into the higher echelon. Like, I think it's still obviously going to be in that like sort of softer, cartoonier style, more akin to the Dragon Quest series than to the Final Fantasy series. But I think they are trying to make that a like big open world AAA experience just with that kind of art style.
Man, that seems like a challenging
It does.
Sell.
It does. But I think Mana has a big enough name that like the dorks who are into it will carry it across some sort of sales threshold and like talk about it enough that it will get like the more casual audience kind of clued into it.
That feels to me like another reason why it seems like it'd be in Square Enix's best interest to have it show up on, because we don't have a like a release date for this or anything, right? So like on Nintendo's next hardware, because PlayStation sales, I mean, not even talking about Xbox, which is a non-factor, but PlayStation 5 sales and software, like hardware and software in Japan, are dire.
Yeah, this
and,
is a great point.
You know, like, and the man, I mean, sure, it is possible that the Mana series will break out worldwide and become an unexpected hit.
Right, but it's got to be on something that Japanese people are playing.
You would think so.
Yeah.
To give it a shot. So, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, you know, look, spring is in the air, summer's right around the corner, which means... Birds are singing. And on their song...
That was just me whistling, I'm sorry.
On their song, they're carrying the tunes of summer game events.
Yes.
And last week, Ubisoft announced a press event, Ubisoft Forward, happening Monday, June 10th. It'll be in LA, right in that usual like E3 spot.
Yeah, it's happening in LA. It's happening like second week of June. Like that is the E3 window. A phrase that now, like with every passing year, becomes less relevant. Like we're, you know, the last E3 was in 2019, right?
Yeah.
Last in-person E3.
Oh,
like,
my goodness, yeah.
2019.
Man, talk about, like, having to bury something over and over again.
Yes. But, like, you know, it's... Just thinking about, like, how long in the tooth the Switch is now, where you're like, man, the Switch is kind of old enough to be both a modern console and a retro console at the same time, and like the Wii U and the Wii are like the Wii in particular, like one full generation back, is a like genuine retro piece of hardware at this point. It's just like how the cruel march of time is just making everything old and obsolete and just like weird memories. And I think that we're still using it as a marker right now of like, this is happening in the E3 time, so it's like an E3 thing. But like, how much longer will that be the case?
Right. I had to look it up because, so you're right that E3 2019 was the last in-person one.
Right.
There was the virtual only E3 in 2021. And I think that was the final E3.
Yeah.
So yeah, who knows if this Ubisoft Forward event will have any Switch titles or any Nintendo news at all.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But it really does feel like until Nintendo acknowledges the whatever the next hardware is, nobody's going to nobody who is actually has a relationship with Nintendo is going to
right
on purpose talk about it.
Right. I mean, we can always look forward to the new version of Game Shark claiming to know when the new Switch is coming out. But yeah, I mean, it's tough because like Ubisoft may well be showing off games that are going to be coming to other platforms, and then with just like kind of question mark around the Nintendo part of it. But like, I don't know if they put out like another Prince of Persia-esque game, which, or, you know, they've got like a bunch of, Assassin's Creed games coming out, and some of those are going to be like the lower spec, smaller experience version ones. Those could come to Switch or reasonably to whatever comes next. So like there's a very real possibility that there is stuff, that we could be playing on our Nintendo Switches or whatever comes next.
That's a good point. It's yeah. not like nothing is going to come out for the Nintendo Switch this year.
Right.
So it may
just
not...
nearly nothing.
Or it's just going to be like those, it feels like anyways, it's going to be those Prince yeah. of Persia like experiences and not necessarily, you know, there's not like a Mario plus Rabbids 3 or something.
What? Yeah. I mean, yes. It is weird that like, it feels like the Mario plus Rabbids series is dead, right? That, the second one, Sparks of Hope, killed it. But, like, it didn't sell that much worse than the original, right?
I think that they had high hopes.
Right, higher expectations.
Higher expectations for it. And then, I mean, you know, what the CEO of Ubisoft said is that Nintendo, basically Nintendo's advice is just do one each generation.
Sure.
And because then you don't eat into sales that way. And he was like, yeah, we probably should have done that.
Yeah.
Just done Kingdom Battle and then held Sparks of Hope for something in the future.
It is also interesting that, like, Ubisoft, like, didn't follow the, like, Nintendo model with the pricing on the game. They left it at, you know, they launched at $60. And then within a couple months, were like, it was on sale.
But it was a long while. Like, people...
For the first game.
No, for the second game. The first game went on sale really quickly. And so there was speculation. I mean, I definitely held out for a sale yeah. on Sparks of Hope because people were saying, oh, yeah, like the Kingdom Battle was $20 within, you know, 3 or 4
right.
months.
Right.
But for Sparks of Hope, they did hold out a long time before they started discounting it regularly.
Yeah. It is so like. It is fascinating where like Nintendo so frequently gets away with keeping their games at full price forever.
Yeah.
Like Ubisoft blinked and then trained all the Nintendo people to be like, oh yeah, we just wait for you to put this thing on sale.
There is a new Nintendo published game releasing in early May, which I honestly kind of forgot about, mm-hmm. and that's Endless Ocean Luminous.
It's coming out in early May. I'm counting that as the April game. Does that make sense?
It does, yes. Luminous got a new trailer last week and an update to the official site that revealed a little bit more about the game, including shared expeditions. You can share your session ID. So Endless Ocean is, of course, the kind of like ocean exploration game. You play as a diver. It seems very relaxed, very chill. You are diving around, exploring the ocean, taking photos, trying to fill out your book, like all that kind of stuff.
Seeing Sebastian the Crab.
Uh-huh.
Trying to stay away from Ursula the Sea Witch.
That shark that's darting around.
Yeah.
Trying to eat you.
You gotta stay away from
that
shark.
When you're exploring the mm-hmm. sunken ship.
And are those the same sharks from Finding Nemo? Do we know?
I think they're different sharks.
Okay.
But probably related. Okay. Just like all the different Jawses.
Yeah. Yes. All the Jawses are canonically related, right?
I think so.
Within the Jaws series?
Is there a Jaws family tree? I don't know. Are they? The fourth one is in the fourth Jaws.
Right.
That shark is definitely out for revenge. But the...
But who is he seeking revenge for?
Right. Unknown.
Right. Okay. Great.
A Jaws movie from the shark's perspective.
Yeah, I like that.
Give us the shark's motivation.
Yeah, and I want like to take it seriously and like no voiceover, no subtitles.
No.
If I don't understand shark, I want to be lost watching this movie.
One of the new things in Endless Ocean Luminous is this kind of like mass online experience you can have.
This is interesting. Is it gonna work?
So it's 30 people at a time, and you can share your session ID to invite friends on a group swim, up to 30 total. But if the session has fewer than 30 people, you may also be joined by up to 10 random divers from around the world. Like, they don't have to enter your session ID. They are just going to be put into your group. So it's possible to be in a mix of both, like, friends and strangers as you're diving through the map.
And I assume, because this is Nintendo, that there's not going to be, like, in-game voice chat for this, right? Like, you're not going to be subjected to, like, the ramblings of whatever 10 weirdos get paired up with you at random, right?
And I think also, because you're underwater, it wouldn't make sense for you to have a lot of, like, radio chatter, right? I feel like it's supposed to be that almost like Journey type thing, where it is a shared experience, but just the gameplay is shared.
Right.
And like, I mean, you could Discord with your friends, I guess.
Of course, yeah.
But
I mean, there's also, and you know, this would be kind of a cool application if they decide to go this way, but like, when you are scuba diving, you communicate a lot in like hand signals and like, you know, sort of signing. So like, if there are ways to like do little emotes like that, you know, to get people to like follow you one direction, or that you see something, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
That could be,
that does make
cool.
A lot of sense. Yeah. That would be cool. There is a single player story mode, Research Expeditions, where you help save the world, capitalized W, coral, capitalized C.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever that means.
I mean, it's got to just be like the Na'vi have the world tree, right?
That must be what it is.
I just said that, but is that actually what it's called? World tree?
I don't think it
tree
is.
Tree of life?
No, also not true. The great tree?
The big tree. I'm going to look it up.
Okay,
you
look
keep
it up.
Talking
I'll
through.
Keep going.
I'm going to the big tree avatar.
Also, I don't think either of us saw the second movie.
There could be a world coral in that for sure.
Yeah, because otherwise it probably would have made more sense for us to draw specifics from The Way of Water.
Home tree. Right.
Yes.
I'm going to look up world tree. Keep going.
So research expeditions, mystery board, uncover buried treasures, strange creatures, and more. And the game releases May 2nd. So you're duty bound to buy this.
Yep.
And I'm going to pick it up too. I have no idea how much I'm going to end up playing this game, but I think it would be a fun surprise to just really get taken by it.
Yeah.
But I don't really know what to make of it at this point. The fact, like, if it was not Nintendo published, I don't know that I would pick it up. You
in
know
fact,
what I mean?
I'm certain that you would not, right? Like, that there are games, you know, like the Subnautica or like other games like that that are like diving based that you and I have just totally ignored. And I know that this is like very much more specifically a hangout underwater game. But yeah, I mean, the fact that it has this like Nintendo pedigree to it and it's being published by Nintendo, you know that I have to buy it. So like, we may as well get in there and swim around together.
Yeah, totally.
The World Tree, of course, is like, you know, from like Norse mythology, the like branches of the World Tree are the different realms.
Oh, of course.
So yeah, so if the world coral is that, and I can, you know, access like Niflheim via the world coral, then I'm all about it.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
That'd be a fun surprise. The next Splatfest has been announced, and it's a worldwide spring-themed event. The question is baby chicks versus little bunnies versus bear cubs.
Okay, so let's break this down. I do like that they're just like, you know what, which of these things do you think is cutest? Right?
I also like that it's like, okay, baby chicks for spring, obviously.
Yep.
Little bunnies for spring.
Right, they were like, check.
Obviously.
One more, guys, and we can go home.
What's the third one?
And they were like, I don't know. Bear cubs?
That doesn't immediately spring to mind as
spring.
As spring.
Right.
It makes sense when you think about it.
Because hibernation ends, bears come out of their caves, they rub their sleepy little eyes.
Oh, they're so sleepy.
They're ready for the end that. Right? He's ready to face the day.
Which one are you choosing? On the spot, can't back out of it.
Right. I got to go little bunnies. Sorry. Lil Bunnies.
Yeah, it is L-I apostrophe L.
Right.
I think I'm going Bear Cubs.
You're going Bear Cubs.
Yeah.
Okay. Any particular reason you're going for the bear?
So I don't need baby chicks. I just don't need them.
Right.
Little bunnies.
And let me ask you this. Are these the kind of baby chicks that, like, still have a little bit of, like, shell on their head?
I am not caring for that.
I don't care for that at all. Do you remember in the U.S. Acres cartoons that would accompany the Garfield and Friends cartoons that there were two baby chicks and one of them was just a pair of legs sticking out of an egg?
I do remember
his
that.
His name was Sheldon?
The name's pretty good.
The name's pretty good.
I only want egg stuck to my baby if it is a velociraptor.
Well, right. Yes. Then do you think John Hammond would lick the viscera off that thing's face and by doing it off the back from behind his ears?
I think he might have at least the first time.
Yeah.
And then until somebody was like, whoa.
Like, you don't need to, we have towels. You don't need
towels.
To do that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But a velociraptor doesn't have ears, right?
It's got ear holes. I mean,
are,
like,
those the same thing?
Jeez. I mean, they're things that they hear from.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure they're referred to as ears.
I
Mark doesn't buy it.
I don't think they are. I think scientists are more specific than that.
Okay.
I think they're like, that's a head hole.
And that's more specific to you.
I'm not a scientist.
Right.
Yeah, I think I'd go with bear cubs because I don't need baby chicks. I just don't need that in my
sure,
life.
Sure, remove that one.
Uh-huh.
Right.
But
then
bunnies,
bears versus bunnies. Yeah.
I like bunnies.
Hippity hoppity.
Yeah, I like bunnies fine. But given the choice between the two, I would rather hold a bear cub than I would bunny.
See, I feel like I don't mind imposing on the bunny's environment and, like, picking it up and being like, rabbit and man can coexist.
Right.
But if I'm in close proximity to a bear, something has gone wrong.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I'm
yeah.
in his habitat. Mama bear is going to come around and, like, kick the crap out of me.
Uh-huh.
Mama bunny comes along, and I'll be like, hey, what up? And
right.
I'll snuggle with that one, too.
Uh-huh.
You know. So that's my rationale
yeah.
for why I go little bunnies.
That's a fair point.
Mm-hmm. Also, little bunnies, I don't have to, like, tie up my, you know, garbage when I'm camping to protect it from bunnies.
That's true.
From bears, you got to, like, put it up in a tree or something.
Is Boo Boo in Yogi the Bear a child or just a small bear?
No, he's a child. I said that pretty confidently, but I actually don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I assume he's a child.
Okay. What's his relationship to Yogi the Bear?
Friend.
Yeah, makes sense.
I feel like they have the same relationship that, I mean, this is obviously what Donkey and Diddy are, right? Like, they have the same.
Oh, totally.
Same relationship.
Yeah. The hub worlds.
Sorry, I was just thinking about Cindy the Bear, and if there's, like, a parallel to her and Candy Kong. And I don't think they ever make Cindy, like, hot, right? They don't ever, like, put her in a bathing suit.
I don't know this. In all of Yogi the Bear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you're right. They probably don't put her in a bathing suit.
It's just Yogi Bear, right? He's not Yogi the Bear.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't think I've ever embarked down, like, an avenue of conversation with you where both of us seem to know so little about what we're talking about.
Well, other than Pokemon.
Sure.
So the hub worlds will have special spring decorations.
Love that.
The idols will be wearing special costumes.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be new gear. So this is like a more than just your average
bear.
Splatfest.
Yes.
And it runs April 19th to April 21st, starting at 5 p.m. Pacific time.
All right. Start up the in memoriam here.
That's right. Uh-huh. Everybody get your, your Splatoon 1 weapon of choice.
Yep.
Because truly, finally, yesterday at 4 p.m. Pacific time, Nintendo officially ended support for online play on the Wii U and Nintendo 3DS.
Which means you can no longer get original Mario Maker levels. You can no longer play Splatoon 1 online.
The original Mario Kart 8.
Yep.
Kid Icarus Uprising.
Sure, you can't do that
Super
online
Smash
anymore.
Super Smash Brothers for Wii U and 3DS.
Yeah. You can no longer go online to play Triforce Heroes.
Ooh, brutal.
Or Metroid Prime Federation Forces.
Double brutal. Or Animal Crossing New Leaf.
Yeah, there you go.
So, yeah, just another kind of last moment in the 3DS and the Wii U. There are, you know, fans have been putting together like alternative ways for you to be able to connect online.
Pretendo is one of those that is like hosting servers for that kind of thing going forward. And there are, you know, kind of like how to, you know, walkthroughs online if you do still want to engage with these things.
But definitely like end of an era.
End of an era for sure. And like end of an era that like had passed, right?
Yeah. And end of an era that we'll be talking about again when someday they finally they stop allowing you to download previously purchased titles.
And that'll be the last time.
I maybe.
Maybe when the last Wii U disc rots away. Although those discs are hardy. Remember? They're like fatter than regular discs.
I think we will this will be a news episode topic like 5 years from now when Nintendo of Japan stops officially supporting repairs. And honestly, that's probably like 20 years in the future.
Yeah, that is a great point. And maybe like I wonder if there's a known shelf life for the Wii U gamepad. Like if it has like a number of hours built into that display and after which it will just burn out and there will be no replacing it.
Oh man, yeah.
So it's just another point of possible failure, right?
But there will always be homebrew and then like repair kits and all that kind of stuff. So
right. So it lives forever, just like everything.
The end.
All right, Mark, let's get out of the news. All right, that is going to do it for this episode of Nintendo Cartridge Society. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to join our Discord, all you gotta do is email us at nintendocartridgesociety@gmail.com. Anthony DeLuca made our logo. Our theme music is provided by 8-Bit Betty. You can get more of his music by going to 8bitbetty.com or by listening right now. For my co-host, Mark Mitchell, this is Patrick Ellery saying thank you for listening.